Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast hosted by Kendall and Jackie, and here we talk about everything horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, and the tropes. And we have new episodes released Tuesdays bi-weekly.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TerraNova_podcast. But also feel free to reach out through email at terranova.pod@gmail.com. And most importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Hello.
What up?
That was like the longest pause.
I was drinking water.
Oh my god. Drinking water. Remember that day when I almost choked live? That was fun. Yeah.
Thought I was going to lose Jackie during the recording. I was like, man, it's going to be weird to edit. But all right, let's see where we go.
Oh, good times. Good times. I'm very excited because for those listening who have been listening and following us and just being like, oh my god, your podcast is so cool. We have reached a milestone. We have reached a big milestone that I'm still just like, wow, it happened. This is our 100th episode. What?
Word. 100. We in there.
Yes. Oh my god. And to basically finalize it and to celebrate it, I remember when we first started the podcast, our first episode was Sleepaway Camp. And I remember I was telling you, Kendall, I was like, if we ever get, this is before we even knew we were going to make 2 years. And this year will be 3 years with the podcast. But this is before we ever knew it was going to keep going. We had no idea what was going to happen with it. I told Kendall, I was just like, if we reach 100 episodes, we have to do a throwback, the first one, and do return to Sleepaway Camp because Felicia is in it as returning as Angelica. Yeah, right? No, Angela. Returning Angela. As Angela. Yeah.
I wanted to say bye, Felicia, but I know she's returning, so I guess hi, Felicia.
She was just like, you thought I was dead? I'm back, bitches. Oh my god. But yeah, so that was declared way before when our podcast was still baby. And I was just like, we have to do Return to Sleepaway Camp if we ever get to 100 episodes. And I know for a while we kind of wanted to get Felicia, but she's way too famous for us, you know, she won't notice us.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but yes, 100 episodes. Oh my god, how do you feel?
I feel like I edited 100 episodes. It's a lot of hours and hours of content. We've experimented with a lot of things, had a bunch of different guests over the course of this stuff, still hope to, you know, meet new folks and bring new folks on as we continue this journey. So it's been interesting. It's been really interesting, you know. The conversations we've had, the conversations that we've had have been really interesting. The way we've approached some movies have been like in ways I didn't expect. Good conversation, you know, for the soul. Mm-hmm. Moments of rage are just going, these fucking people in this movie. Like we've definitely had the spectrum of emotions on this podcast.
Oh, we have. Especially me, because I go in. I get really in-depth, and I'm just like, man, just burn everything. Set everything on fire. I mean, that's how I am at work, too. I'm just like, burn everything. Set everything on fire.
Yeah, we ran the gambit, for sure.
Yeah. Again, burn everything. Set everything on fire. No, don't listen to me. I'm chaotic. Don't listen to me. I'm chaos. Like, I have a sticker that I bring to work with me now that says, hello, I'm dead inside, so my kids now call me Miss Dead or Miss Dead Inside. That is my name now. I even have my coworkers calling me that. And the other counselors and other programs. I'm like, this is my name. One of my friends who's in a different program, he was like, no, I'm not calling you that. Stop it.
That's hilarious.
And I'm like, okay. But yeah, my kids say I'm soulless. They're not wrong. Yeah, I love my kids. But anyway, back to other kids.
I know these crazy fucking kids.
Oh my holy god.
Sleepaway Camp is a roller coaster ride, I tell you.
Yeah, I thought the first movie was wild. This one, Return to Sleepaway Camp 2008, which is the official sequel to the first movie. The other ones are not really canon, but this one is. It's a direct sequel to it. I don't know why it took so long for them to do this one. Actually, no, I think this is how they were having like production problems, whatever, or like they weren't sure what they were going to do. And then Felicia was like, I want to come back. And so they were like, okay, let's do this one. Yeah, just like the first movie, it takes place in the camp, a summer camp.
Don't say.
But, you know, in the first one, we were following Angela and her brother, Ricky, and this other boy that, you know, Angela had, you know, liked stuff or liked Angela. In this one, we follow this new kid named Alan, who's a little bit, you know, kind of quirky, kind of odd, kind of weird. You know, the other kids.
Alan, the asshole.
Alan is an asshole, but also a lot of the kids kind of like bully him a lot because, you know, he's big, he's fat, he's obsessed with frogs. Frogs are literally his only friend, apparently. And just like the first film, a lot of bullying, a lot of bullshitting, a lot of everything. So we're following him. We see these guys, the girls and the boys is bullying him. We meet the custodians who are also kind of like an asshole to him, who are just like, no, I mean, yes, Alan is kind of an asshole. Like, the cook literally told you, do not go in my freezer and touch one of the ice creams because that's for the other kids. And then he does it anyway, and then he gets eggs thrown at him. But then the cook ends up, you know, dying. Isaac Hayes is in it. I was surprised to see Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, like, you want to talk about a random fucking cameo. I mean, I perked up and was like, holy shit, Isaac Hayes?
That was, yeah, I did not. I was just like, oh, one of the other chefs. Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movie is just, yeah, it follows Alan. And of course, each time someone bullies him or tries to do something to him similar to fashion of the first film, they get whacked. They get killed in very obstructive way. One of the counselors literally got fed to rats. He got tied up, got fed to rats. One of the other girls, the most clever way, I've never seen this before, was where it was a bunk bed. One of the girls was laying down the bottom bunk and she sees all these spikes above the first one. And then Angela just jumps on it and then boom, just lands it and crushes her. And all you hear is like the blood, like crawling down. I'm just like, that's not how that works, but okay.
That's why I never want to sleep on the bottom bunk. It's like dangerous down there.
It is. I know this because I'm almost fallen off a top bunk, and I was scared of being crushed on a bottom bunk. It's not fun. It's very scary.
That's fair enough. I definitely fell off the top bunk before and broke a fan. It was all by accident, but it totally happened. I woke up on the edge of the bunk bed by accident. I was like, why does it feel like there's nothing in front of me? And then I opened my eyes and was like, oh, shit. And then I panicked from being on the edge and then fell straight down and broke my cousin's fan in the middle of something. He was so mad.
Oh, my God. Terrible.
He was so mad. We had to do like reconstructive surgery on that fan to get it to work.
Yeah, I'd be mad, too. I'm like, the fuck, man? But
it wasn't on purpose. Yes. I didn't mean to fall.
There's also this cop. This cop, I forgot his name, the cop that goes around and he's trying to figure out what's happening, why are the kids acting up, why are the kids going missing, blah, 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 what shenanigans. And they briefly do mention, they're like, what if it's Angela, what? And they mention her name a lot of times throughout the whole entire movie, because again, this is a direct sequel to the first one. A couple years later, of course, because older, we do see Ricky again, and he's definitely different. Ricky has blonde hair. Yeah. He has a truck. He's like kind of sleazy now. And it's just like, hey, get out of here. And it's just like, damn, okay.
And one of the other characters, I think, was a reoccurring one as well. I think it was Randy. He's a reoccurring character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was too. But like, it was pretty interesting to see those characters. But yeah, the cop. He comes in. He's trying to investigate what's going on. He has like this vocal thing on his throat, which some people use and get. Some people use that particularly if, like, they had throat surgery and they can't really talk normally. So he's going around asking questions, doing this, trying to figure out what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And all the while, when shit's going down, you see, like, a hooded person with a black hood just running around doing shit. You're just like, what is this? I mean, of course, as a viewer, again, it's called Return to Sleepaway Camp for a reason. So you as a viewer kind of know, okay, that has to be Angela. I mean, yeah, Angela.
A killer, like, of some sort, whoever it is.
I was pretty much prepared. I was like, that's Angela. I was like, it might be Killer, but it might be Angela. Because we don't know what happened to her at the end. We just knew she was screaming naked with her penis out.
Well, her brother did say that she's upstate in like a clinic.
Yeah. But was she really? Either way, people were getting murdered. People were getting killed. They were having remnants, trauma for the first one. They're like, oh my God, what if Angela's out? What if Angela's back? What if this is all Angela? And they're like, man, don't be silly. She's not around. She's not here. You're a silly goose. But yeah. Anyway, the movie's really bad, so I'm trying to my best to summarize this as best as I can, because it's just like, again, you're just following Alan and his what's going on with him, everyone around him who's being a shit to him, getting killed off. Like, the bullies skin the frogs for I don't know why.
Because it's really cool. That was what he said.
And they're all assholes. So I'm just like, why are they not being kicked out? Like, obviously, the counselors are aware of what's going on. They're visibly seeing the bullying being happening and do nothing about it. And they're just like, oh, you can't touch me. Like, oh, God, camps.
They're not being kicked out because just like with the first sleepaway camp, the person in charge of the camp knows there's good money in having a camp. So they don't give a fuck about the kids. And they just like, this camp, it makes me good money. So let's try to get through this shit so we can all get paid. Like, it's as simple as that.
Yes. So, as this is all happening, all of it, we reach the climax. You know, stuff is happening. You think Alan's gonna finally like get killed, because again, like, yes, he kind of does to himself. But yeah, he's trying to be friendly, but he's kind of like also kind of a dick to everyone else because of his odd quirkiness as well. And we're thinking, okay, yeah. Oh my God, they're going to kill him. They're going to skin him. They're going to do this. This guy's bashing him. One of the bullies is bashing him in the head with the thing. And then all of a sudden he gets stopped and they're like, what? And then the reveal happens. The big reveal. We see the hooded person and then we hear the voice changer. And you're like, wait, that's the cop? There was a cop the whole time? No, it was Angela apparently posing as the cop. Took off her wig, took off her fake stash or fake face. Her fake everything, and then she's just laughing like a crazy ass person. And it's just like, she's just like, you think things will change? Like, this is why you'll never, like, I forgot what the hell she said. Like, I was just so distracted by her laughing, her face. But yeah, basically, yeah, it's like, yeah, if you get bullied, and Angela is gonna come out like the boogeyman and just kill you. So don't bully, otherwise, Angela's gonna kill you. That's the whole moral of the story, basically.
You know what? I guess that is the moral of the story, because she did kill the bullies, mainly. Just like, kind of when they bullied her. But, yeah, this movie is weird, and it's not very good. The reveal wasn't really good. It didn't even feel like a reveal. The end of the movie didn't feel like the end of the movie. Like, I know the movie seemed to be going for, like, a fun vibe. It kind of messed that up in some ways. Like, the characters are as... The kids, anyway, actually all of the characters are just as colorful as, like, the original. Like, you know, the characters are, like, it's probably the best part of the movie. Like, the characters just have, like, a weird mesh together. Like, because everyone's kind of an asshole, mm-hmm, including Alan, even though he's the quote-unquote bullied kid. He's a bully as well, mm-hmm, as he's bullying the littler kids. And then the older kids are, like, bullying him for being weird, but not even just being weird. He likes this one girl who's in the older group. Everyone's aware that he likes her. And they're all kind of like, Alan is kind of dirty. And he's really weird. Actually, I think it was more so that he was dirty. It was just like, dude, is that the same shirt from like 3 days ago? He's basically like, yeah, he don't get it yet. I don't know how old that kid was supposed to be. He like, he could have been 12. He like, he could have been 15. He like, he could have been 9. I don't know. Like, I don't know if he has some issues going on. But everybody in this cast is an asshole, from the supervisors, I mean, the guidance counselors, I guess, or camp counselors, to the kids, to everyone is an asshole in this movie. That's kind of the fun part about the movie, because the kills are not super creative, in my opinion. Cool. Let's just wait like 5 seconds before we hop back in.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just like the first one, because the counselors were all shitty. The kids were shitty. Yep. I mean, the counselors didn't do anything about what was going on with Angelica. Angela and Ricky. And then with this one, yeah, the history repeats itself. And it's just like, it's just, and what's fucked up is that that's kind of how camps, I mean, not just camps, but places really are. Because when it's money involved or like anything, like a status or a status, they have to keep a reputation. Shit will go under the rug. So many, I mean, I'm an educator. I see it all the time when it comes to schools. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. And that's something I feel like both films highlight really well. I mean, yes, it's supposed to be like, I mean, let's be real. Both movies are B-rated films. Like, they're not really scary. They're kind of comedic. But I guess you're right. The social commentary aspect of it is the fact that there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes of any organization, whether it's summer camp, day school, like after school, whatever, that gets swept under the rug. And it's just like, no, we're a happy place. We're all happy and sunshine. There's no drama here. There's no bullying here. Bullying, what's that? You know, even though it's happening clear as day, you know, it's visibly happening. Yeah, Alan was really gross. I was just like, is his shirt getting dirtier and dirtier? Why is there spots in it? What? Even when the girls came to check on him to say hi, he was like, oh, do you guys want to have a drink? And the cups were all nasty and dirty with mud in it. And I'm just like, oh my God, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Like I'm just like, I know it sucks. You're getting bullied and people are shitting on you. But bro, your shit probably stinks. That's probably why, man.
And his go-to insult was, your ass stinks.
I mean, his probably did the most. And I guess he wanted someone else to feel the pain. Like, yeah, my ass stinks. So do you.
I was sitting there like, man, I normally don't approve of bullying, but this kid's such a dick. I kind of understand why they bully him. I was like, I feel terrible for thinking this. But seeing the bully get bullied was kind of like, this is not the same as when Angela was being bullied in the first one. You're kind of like, yo, why do you keep bothering this quiet girl? Like, she's not saying anything. Mm-hmm. She's legit not saying a word. She's just sitting there by herself, staring at people with her weird stare. It was like, well, yeah, all
her right. Soulless stare. Yeah.
Yeah, word. The soulless stare. Like, she was just sitting there legit staring at people. She didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She didn't move. She just would sit there and just stare at you. And it was like, okay, that's strange, but she's actually not bothering anyone. So when they're bullying her, you kind of feel a lot more sympathy for her because you're like, she's legit not bothering anyone. Like, why is everyone keep bothering her? And it was like the same one. It was Judy, I think her name was. It was like the same one, the two girls that kept bothering her.
I hated her ass, man. Remember, I kept ranting how much I hate. I was so happy she died. I was like, yes! You're
like, man, this character is like a legit bully. They bother somebody who's really not bothering anyone. This is fucked up. But with this movie, I'm like, it doesn't feel like Alan's being bullied. It feels like Alan is just being bullied by a bigger bully because he's bullying people as well. Like, he's messing with the girl with the pigtails. He got in line with the girl. She's just like, Alan, wait your turn. Like everybody else, so he doesn't want to wait, so he puts her hair in his mouth and she's just like, I'm telling you, I'm leaving. It's like he's bothering the smaller kids, he's taking stuff from them. Hell, the movie opens with kids playing with a lighter, a bunch of boys playing with a lighter doing like fart flames, and he's like, yeah. Oh, I want to do it too. And they're just like, dude, like, no. And but he's big and he's usually beating them up, so they let him do it. And he's like, ah, this is so great. And they're just like, yeah, sure, Alan. Because he's bullying them too. So the rest of the movie, it's almost like you watching him get his comeuppance. Like, I didn't even feel bad for him when they fucking Wu-Tang circled him and spray painted him with the paintball. I didn't even feel bad. I was just in there like, yo, this is actually kind of hilarious. Like,
Wu-Tang circled him. Your description of it. Wu-Tang circled him with the paintballs. That's the quote, the guys. Style. That is the quote. That is the quote. They Wu-Tang circled him with the paintballs. That is it. That's it. Episode over.
They had to show him the kung fu style. So that shit was funny to me. This motherfucker's running in the woods. He's not even in the uniform for paintballing. He's just wearing that same t-shirt and carrying the paintball gun. So he's running from one group of kids who are shooting at him. He sees his supposed team and they're just standing there silently looking at him. And he's like, what's going on? And he realizes they just aiming their guns at him. And he's like, oh, shit. Then he goes to run, and even his teammates start shooting at him. And then they all just circle up and start shooting him. I was like, yo, that's fucked up. This is also kind of hilarious. And I remember looking at him in the stage, and I was like, I bet you he don't change that shirt. And he didn't. He kept the same shirt on with all the paint ball stains on it. I was like, yo, this kid is something else, bro.
Yes. Like, I'm just like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I do. Yeah, it's true, though. Because, like, I don't know. It was different with Alan. It was versus Angela. But, again, Angela was just like, oh, my bully senses are tingling. Time to go back to camp. What disguise am I going to wear this time? And it was the cop. So there's a post-credit scene for the movie for those who have never seen it before. We're not going to tell you how we saw it, but we watched it. but if you're able to watch it or have seen it before, you already know what I'm talking about. So the post-credit scene is basically Angela fighting with her cop boyfriend. And then he gets so mad. She gets so mad. And then the car basically crushes his head. The tire just explodes. And then that's how she becomes the cop for the summer camp. That's very funny. I'm just like, where did she get the prosthetics from? But I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to question this. She was dressing as a boy the whole movie for the first movie. I mean, she was posing as a woman, even though she was a man. But yeah, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. The post-credit scene was probably one of the best scenes of the movie.
Yes, because it was an interesting death. Because the deaths for this movie were really weird. Like, oh my god. The one when they were like, hey, there's a stick, a large stick in this hole, man. So like, it's like a shoot, it's like a spike. And then he gets like, that scene was so tension building because they kept looking into the hole. And I'm just there like, one is going to get stabbed. One of them is going to get stabbed. Which one is it going to be? Yep. Just happened already because I'm getting angsty. And then it finally happens and his dumbass runs into the wall. And forces it into his back of his head. And I'm just like, bro.
So dumb.
Like, what? Like, no one killed you. You killed yourself. You did that to yourself, man.
So dumb.
The deaths are just ridiculous. Again, the bunk bed scene, I think that's my favorite death. Because that was clever. I've never seen that before. That was fucking clever. Everything else was just like, okay, whatever. But that one was clever. And then, of course, the big thing when she freaking skins Alan's main bully. She skins him alive and she's just like there like, ha 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 ha. And I'm just like, okay, Angela, we get it. We get it.
That was... Like, I got so many questions even about that. Like, you skinned a dude and then you didn't escape. So, like, did you just want to get caught again?
She wanted to teach a lesson of no more bullying.
I guess, but, like, she got caught. So, like, did she want to get caught again? Is this what they do when somebody killed 30 people? They just send them to the clinic for a little bit? Like, they don't call the cops? They don't get the cops truly involved? Because she murdered a lot of people in that first one. So, to think that I know we should take mental health seriously. I ain't saying we shouldn't. But if somebody killed... Like I forgot how many people she killed in the first movie. Let's say like 5 people. I don't care if you killed one really, but if somebody killed like 5 people, and it's like at that point you're like, this ain't just like a one off. You don't just send that person to the clinic. It's like this person might need to go to jail. Like this is, especially if they now like escape to do some shit again. Like I don't know. It's a movie though. I get it. It's movie logic. I'm just saying it's just funny that would be like the solution. Like wow, she killed 10 people. Let's send it to a clinic upstate. Like that'll get us some help.
I mean,
like, I think she needed a lot more than help, but okay.
I mean, look at Batman. He's always sending
they sent
Joker
to Arkham Asylum.
Into asylum. He's just like, he's crazy. I'm like, Joker needs to die, sir. I'm not like that. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, man. I guess we'll do this goose chase all over again. Like, we don't have lives. Or have
you know
actual
I'd watch that,
lives.
Though. I'd watch that movie. Let Angela be a Batman villain. She goes to Arkham. Breaks out.
She'd be a new Harley Quinn.
Not even. She'd be her own thing. She specifically goes to sleepaway camps to kill kids, and Batman has to now like go to sleepaway camps to stop her.
She's like Angela is like Jason, except she could talk and laugh at
yeah.
you and just make bird faces. Jason just wears a mask because he was a boy. Again, that. So we are planning on doing Friday 13th, people. Just a heads up, we are planning on doing that, and I will go on a rant about how nothing makes sense that a boy drowned and then reemerged as a man. What magic is this? But anyway, back to the return to sleepaway camp.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's strange shit. Don't worry, this is just as strange in his own right. She escaped from upstate, came back down. To go to find another sleepaway camp just to kill more kids. Like, yo, you like 30 now. Like, why are you just even mad anymore? But,
trauma.
Hey, honestly, I would have preferred, you know why I say that ending scene was better for me when she, like, killed that cop to, like, I guess become a cop? Because mm-hmm. they don't really see her dress up after that, so you could just assume she became a cop after that. It's one of those type of things. Honestly, I would watch a whole movie of her just escaping, like, an asylum and then just going on, like, random adventures. Like, that would be way funnier to me.
I know, right?
Like, than this movie like, was.
Who is she going to pose as now?
Exactly. Oh just, like, hopping town to town, just doing, like, dumb shit and just, like, a wild, goofy adventure. That would somehow be a better movie to me than, like, this. Because this movie was, like, pretty much a repeat of the original, but, like, not as, like, interesting. Like, the characters, in my opinion, are just as interesting. Like, I'll give them that. Like, the characters are just as fun and crazy because that's, like, that was the appeal of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's how fun and goofy and over-the-top the characters are, even though it feels realistic. And, of course, the kills are pretty cool in the first one. And then the reveal is, like, the big, big thing about the whole franchise. But, like, they got the character part right. It's just, like, it's almost like, man, does this have a story? I'm not sure if this has a story.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's just Alan. There was no story. It's just
Alan.
We're back in camp. Alan, he's kind of instigating the fights. He's pretty much making people beat him up for being who he is. And then it's just Angela in the background doing her. Can I say one thing? How the hell was she, like, was she wearing the cop outfit underneath all that the whole time? Because whenever, like, you see the guy with, like, the person in the hoodie, the black hood and everything, and then all of a sudden the cop appears, it's just like, how is she hiding her hood? Where is she putting that to hide it so no one finds it? And then she's like, hello, Eric the cop here, we saw this. Like, how is she doing that?
I don't know, because probably in one of the shittiest ways that they've ever showed, I guess, foreshadowed and kind of revealed who the killer was in the scene where Karen was being choked by the...
the rope?
Yeah, by the rope that was hanging from the basketball hoop.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of being choked by it, and then the killer is basically standing next to the switch that made the basketball hoop go up so it would hang her. And then somebody comes in there because they hear her screaming, and then the killer walks out the door, and then the cop comes back in through the exact same door the killer just left out of, like, literally 5 seconds later, and then turns the button to make the hoop come down. And I was like, I guess the cop is the killer, but that was a terrible way to kind of reveal it.
Yeah. And what's like, crazy is that the guy who came in, he was just like, she's gone, Karen, you're safe. And the cop came in, and then no one questioned it. No one questioned
no
it.
No one said
there
was
just like, did you see that? It kind of reminded me, it kind of reminds me of Scream. Like, I think Scream 2 with freaking Sydney's second girlfriend, Derek. Like, they went to chase him in the house. And they're like, where'd he go? He went that way. And they're just questioning him, thinking like, wait, is it going to be a Billy Loomis part 2? Is he the killer too? Because he was there. He got sliced. He ran. What? It kind of reminded me of that. Because, yeah, like you don't question it, but then you question it and you get suspicious. You're just like, what? But for this movie,
yeah, like, what's going on?
No one fucking questioned it. There was just like, the guy disappeared and then in came the cop. I don't see anything suspicious. Is the cop.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, we should suspect him. And why is he the only cop on campus? Why is he cop on the camp?
He, like, prevented no crimes. Police work.
No. he just popped up out of nowhere. It's just like, what's going on here? And it's just like, yeah, this movie was something else. I lost focus after a while, and I was just like, wait, who died? How they died? Like, I was... The first movie was a little bit more interesting than this one. It really was.
Yeah.
Like...
it kind of gave you... I'm not a writer. I'm gonna just start with that. I'm not a writer. I don't write movie plots. And I know it's easy to... It's far easier to criticize than there is to do. So I can acknowledge that. But... there's something to the movie where it's like, you know, there has to be a main plot and then at least something that kind of, I don't know, keeps you going throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. Like with this, you're just kind of like, okay, people are dying. People are kind of blaming Alan because Alan seems to be, you know, the best person to do this, considering that he is not just the abuser. He is the abused. Like, he's both. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's the perfect, you know, suspect. For some reason, they suspected her brother, Angela's brother, as well. Even though this motherfucker seemed like he wasn't even in town, it seemed like he was like in a completely different location. And they were just like, "Was it you?" Shady. It's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Yeah, exactly. He did look Slim Shady. It was very weird.
Yeah, like he had the Kelly. Blonde hair. He was trying to be all tough and like, "Hey, what are you talking about?" I'm just like, "Okay, Ricky, we get it. You've been through shit. Your sister / brother traumatized you, traumatized the camp. Just go back in your truck, okay? Just go back in your truck." And it was funny knowing now that the cop...
Did he go through shit, though?
Because, remember, they people thought it was Ricky, too. Remember, we used to think it was Ricky.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
good point.
It's Ricky, maybe it's both of them. But then, after he found out that, you know... Again, he grew up with Angela / Alan. Wasn't that her real name, too? Wasn't her name actually Alan? Or...
I forgot. It might have been.
I forgot. They changed it. It was forced to be Angela because she was forced to be a girl. So he witnessed all that. So he's like, yep, I guess that's my sister now. And it was interesting because I believe the cop was around, right? When they were asking him questions, Ricky was...
Yes.
Knowing now that was Angela, that's the funniest shit ever. Because she's just like questioning him about herself. And then he doesn't realize that that's his sister. And he's just like, why are you bothering me, man? I don't know anything about this. This fucking movie, man. This movie.
That does make the movie a lot funnier, doesn't it? And then also, remember, he shows up at the end randomly, and then people were like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "You called me like an hour ago." So she called her brother so he would witness another murder. Like, is Angela just fucking with this dude?
Like, come, brother. I need to show you something again. Let me traumatize you again here. Oh my god,
maybe
yo.
They have like, I don't know, a Joker and Harley Quinn relationship, but Angela's Joker. And she's just like, I need you to see this bullshit to appreciate my genius.
Yeah. For real. Like, I feel like this movie was just a fan service film. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think it's just for fan service because, again, they brought back Felicia. Which we all love Felicia because of the iconic role of Angela. And even she loves it so much because she's always down to play her and use the same mouth or like the same face she made or the same laugh. Like, she's always down for that because she loves that character to death. and we love the character. So I felt like this was just like a fan service movie where it's just like, all right, the other movies, the other sequels are not canon. They're just for shits and giggles. Let's do an actual movie with Felicia as Angela, and let's just make it for the fans who loved the original, who loved the first one. So I feel like that was that. I feel like it wasn't meant to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
I feel like it was just like, because I mean, this was 2008, and I feel like at this time for movies, this is when like there not many movies had a storyline. It was just kills, blood, gore, and
you mean slashers specifically?
Yeah, like, I feel at the time, there wasn't really, like, emphasis of like, story. It was just like, ooh, crash. What's going on? I don't know. Someone's dead. What happened? Who knows? Oh, kill revealed. Like, that's
but this
basically
one came out in 2008.
I know, but I feel like 2008, that was also the era when movies were getting kind of weird, no? Like slasher films? I don't know. What was out in 2008?
Actually, yeah, you might be right. It might have been I've had to think about it, and now I gotta look up slashers from the early 2000s, because that could be a part of the reasoning now that you mention it.
Yeah, because I'm trying to remember, what else came out in 2008 that was a slasher film that there was, like, no, like, not the fact that they didn't have story, it was just, like, just because. I mean...
I feel like the Friday the 13th remake came around in the time.
Okay. And that was Rob Zombie, right? That was his bullshit.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't Rob Zombie. It was someone else. I can't remember who, but I actually liked the remake, Friday the 13th. All right, so we had like the... Now you piqued my interest. So Scary Movie came out around that time. Hatchet came out around that time. House of the Devil, which I'm pretty sure that was a remake. Scream 3 came out around that time. I'm just looking at the early 2000s in general. Like that. Freddy vs. Jason, Rob Zombie Halloween came out.
My
Bloody Valentine. A lot of people didn't like it. I never saw the whole thing, so I don't have a true opinion on it.
Oh, the remake of My Bloody Valentine? I saw that movie. Yeah, that movie was...
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah.
Dead Silence came out around that time, which I think that was a remake.
That was actually really good. Like, I actually enjoyed that movie. Scared the shit out of me, but
yeah, Freddy versus Jason. Yeah, I guess it wasn't the greatest time for slashers at that time point.
Yeah, I think this movie like slashers ebb and flow. I think for this one, I think it was supposed to come out in 2003, but then it was pushed back and got released in 2008. So
Midnight Meat Train came out. It's not a porno, guys. It's an actual slasher. But
oh yeah, oh I love that movie.
I did like that movie.
That movie scared the shit out of me because that's why I'm like scared to travel in the train at nighttime because I actually do believe that. And I'm just like, I feel like that's real. I feel like that's fucking real.
You should probably do that at some point. So yeah, it was a okay time for slashers, and I feel like slasher movies in general always kind of ebb and flow, mm-hmm. kind of like how people feel about them. Like sometimes they have really high highs, like Scream, like you know Scream. The fan base for that is pretty dedicated. Like you know we just had a 6th one come out. They're gonna do. I think they're already planning a 7th and an 8th. So the fan base for that is pretty avid. But
oh wait, I said that out loud. Sorry, Scream people. Sorry.
It's okay. I get shit from people. I had somebody reach out to me on Instagram because I said I hated the sequels on a different podcast that I guest hosted on. They like, you seem like a cool guy, but I can't believe you don't like the Scream sequels. And I'm just like, everything ain't for everybody. I got movies I don't like too. That other people, I mean, that I love, that people hate. So it is what it is. But he's like, oh, you're just so wrong. I was like, okay, if you say so. But it's just my opinion. We all entitled to our own opinions for things.
Because
like,
honestly,
like what you like.
Because honestly, Scream 4 was just not it. And I know people are going to be like, what? Scream 4 was just not it for me. I'm sorry. I was just like, what the hell am I watching? What is this bullshit? And I feel bad saying that because that was technically Wes Craven's final film before he died. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, Wes. This just wasn't it. And then the other ones came out and I'm just like, he's rolling in his grave now. Like, what? I mean, the 5th one was okay. I haven't seen the 6th one yet. The sixth one I have not seen as of yet. But the 5th one was actually pretty okay. And I was like, huh, this is pretty clever. I like this. Okay. But yeah.
Yeah, people like it for different reasons. I ain't mad at it. Oh, yeah. Saw came out in 2004. So yeah, I guess like that for the first 10 years of the early 2000s was an interesting time. Even though, I don't know, Saw is definitely not a slasher movie, but I don't know.
No, that's a social commentary 101 class. That's what Saw is.
That's like, his own thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, that's the whole, like, fuck around and find out type of movies. It's like, oh, word? You're taking my benefits? Bet. I'll become Jigsaw, too.
So. Word. It's like, it's interesting. So, this movie, it definitely is a fan service, but I don't know. I'm always the one that says fan service can be done and still be, like, a pretty decent movie. Like, I feel like this movie is, like, okay. I don't think it's the worst movie I've ever seen by far. But I just felt like it could have probably been a little bit better. But I don't know, maybe... Yeah, I don't... Some aspects of it just felt weird to me. Like, I understand the guy kind of being like, it's Angela. I'm like, that's cool, but I almost feel like it would have been better if it wasn't Angela. And we maybe just found out Angela was, like, off doing adventures or some shit. Like, that would have been funny. Like, maybe she did escape, but she was just like, fuck this camp shit, I'm gonna go do other stuff. Like, that could have been funny.
People like, Ricky, like, let's travel together and be myself.
Yeah, he's like, aren't you supposed to be in the clinic? She's like, don't worry about that. Like, I don't know. I feel like that could just be funny adventures in of itself. Because that was clearly, like, a reveal because Felicia Rose's name isn't on, like, the art or anything like that for the cover. It's like, Isaac Hayes and, like, two other people. So it's, like, supposed to be a big surprise that she's in the movie. And I think it would work if the movie was just a little bit better. By the end of it, I was just like, this is okay. Like, if anything, I wouldn't have rewatched the original. But I'm like, this is, like, okay.
I agree. I do agree with it. I mean, again, like, I'm sure at the time when the movie first came out, because, you know, the way people advertise movies, especially now, is just bullshit. That's why I try to say with the trailer. They show you everything. But I'm sure back then when they were showing a trailer for this and Return to Sleepaway Camp, I mean, because they already had, like, two other movies prior to this that had released. Yeah. So I'm sure people were just like, oh, here we go, the 4th one, another one, blah, 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 blah. So I'm sure when they saw it and then the big reveal of her coming out must have been like, whoa, she's back? Yeah. Like, what? It must have been like very just like hyped up. I mean, again, it's Felicia Rose. The iconic character, the iconic role of Angela. But yeah, I don't know. It just kind of felt very B-rated. It's not bad. Like, we're not trying to butcher by saying it was the worst movie in the world. no, it was not the worst movie. That goes to, you know, Halloween. Anyway, so as I was saying, it's not the worst movie. It's just interesting in a way where it made no sense, but I think that was the point of it. And I feel like it was a B-rated fan service love letter to the fans from the original film. And it is what it is, you know? The kills were definitely interesting. Again, the bunk bed kill, that's my favorite kill.
That was funny.
And yeah, and again, the moral story of it all, talk shit, get hit. You know? Like, Angela was just like, my bully senses are tickling. Who's going to get it? Who? These hands are ready to eat for everybody. So, yeah, Word. Man.
I got to ask you, do you think this franchise would be better if it was just like the first movie and that was it? Or do you think it's just like just the sequel suck and it is what it is? Or they could have done better sequels? Like, what do you think?
I feel like the first one's definitely good on its own. I feel like, yeah, because, again, that was shocking. No one saw that coming for the ending. I was like, the fuck? I still remember that being the first episode we ever did. And again, for those who have heard our podcast, you know that we have an inside joke when it comes to Kendall's wife. The funniest shit was when we were watching that together through Zoom, and I could hear her being like, shit you watch? Fuck is this? Funniest thing ever. So, Anastasia, I love you. Yeah, I feel like it's good on its own. And if they were to make a sequel, I mean, I feel like every movie, whenever they have a first one, you think that's it. But then we get sequels like Megan, for example, they greenlit a sequel for it. Or like The Orphan, we thought we were not going to see The Orphan again. And that had a sequel.
Yeah, I think that was a prequel, though.
Yeah, it was a prequel, but it was kind of weird because she aged up, and it's just they had to really make her look young again. But yeah, I feel like it was good in its own. And regarding the sequel, Return to Sleepaway Camp, I feel like it could have been better, definitely better, like way more like, okay, what is the story now? Like, it would have been interesting if Alan was like related to Angela or Ricky, of like, oh, that's their cousin, or somehow Angela knocked up someone out because, you know, she's a penis. Knock someone up and that's their kid. Yeah. You know, Alan's all fucked up inside or something, or, you know, that would have been interesting. And then I'd be like, okay, so that explains why Alan's the way he is, explains why all these people are dying, or like the curse of Angela or some weird shit. Some weird the stuff. The curse of Angela. Okay. The curse of Angela. I don't know. Something. But it could have been better. But that is my opinion. I feel like it would have been good by itself. No sequels, no franchise. Because you know me, I'm very picky when it comes to franchises. Not all of them I like. Some of them I do, some of them I don't. But that's where I stand. I feel like it could have been good by itself. No sequels. And if they had to make a sequel, because every movie needs a fucking sequel, it could have been better. Way better.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a similar boat. Because the first one was just really good. Like, you know, it's just, it's, once again, I don't make movies, and I'm not a studio guy, so I'm sure the studio people be like, no, it's probably easier to do sequels, because you already have a fan base that's invested, and it's like, that's totally valid in one level, but I also think, like, there is something to, like, creating a hit, and then people going, wow, that was, like, a legit hit, and then, like, if it's something that, where the sequels feel like it would just simply be, like, a duplication of the first one, a straight copy, then it's almost like, what's the point in doing what's the point in having a franchise if it's just like straight up copies? Because let's be real, the second one wasn't, I didn't see the second or the third one. So I didn't see the second or the third one, but neither one of them are very highly acclaimed. And I don't mean by like critics, I mean like even by the people who watched it, they're just like, it's okay. But like the original is the main reason people go to like, you know, Comic Con and all of these different like horror cons to like meet Felicia Rose. It's not because of the sequels, it's the original. And probably because of Return to Sleepaway Camp, just because she, you know, pops up in it again. So part of me is like, maybe they probably should just left us alone after the first one and then just like grabbed a different premise of or a different setting or something. I don't know, do summer school, something, just I don't know, a Breakfast Club horror movie. I don't know, like I just feel like sometimes it's like easier to move on than it is to, instead of just replicating the same formula. Because sequels are hard, man. I know they even joke about that, thinking like so many movies. You need to joke about that in Scream 2.
Yeah.
Sequels are hard.
The rule of this. This is why I love the Scream movies. Okay, again, I'm not like Kendall. I do enjoy the sequels of the Scream, except for the fourth one. I'm sorry. I skipped the fourth one. I don't like it. The fifth one was good. The fourth one, just I'm just like, what is this? What is this? What, get out of my face. But the first, second, and third, I love the third one. Third was my favorite. But yes. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, just, you know, it's hard to do sequels, man. It's hard to follow up, especially when the first one is so, like, feels so original. And I know there are franchises I do like, so I'm not going to pretend that I don't. Hell, I like the Alien franchise a lot. I think the Alien franchise is actually a really good, not all of them, but the first three are great. First three, in my opinion, are really good. Alien 1, Aliens, and then Alien 3, all three of those, fucking fantastic. Like, really, really good. The Prometheus and the Covenant, those are a little questionable, but the first three are great. The first three are really good. So franchises can do it right in some ways, but sometimes, man, they just dipping in the old sauce and just hoping that it didn't expire yet and hoping that people get it. Like, even Nightmare on Elm Street, like, we did that. That franchise is like, all right, like, you know, it finds ways to upgrade itself in some way, whether the character comes back who survived before or something like that. You know, Final Destination kind of does their own thing a little bit. So every franchise kind of tries to find a way, but man, it is tough to do like good sequels. It is really hard.
It is true, because like when we did the Nightmare one, the sequel really was left field, because there was no one who returned. That was just totally left its own story. And then when the third one came out, you know, Heather came back, and then in the fourth one it was like a child, but Heather was also referenced, and the other characters were referenced. From the third film, some characters reference, and then the fifth one. And then I always said New Nightmare is my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Because New Nightmare,
I always forget which one that is.
New Nightmare is where Freddy became real. It wasn't like a fictional.
Oh, okay.
It was Craven.
Yes, I remember that. He had the trench coat, right?
Yeah, and like Heather.
That shit was dope.
Heather, the actress who plays Heather, she was playing herself. And that movie was so, like, that movie scared the shit out of me as a kid, because I really believed he was real, and that made him real in the real world. Because, like, Robert Englund played himself, talking about how he's terrified of Freddy, and I'm just like, oh my god, he's real!
That was fun. That was interesting.
Wes did an amazing job with that movie. That was just chef's kiss with New Nightmare. But yeah, like, it's definitely interesting how, like, they tried to, like, okay, how are we gonna tune the story? Who are we gonna bring back? How is it gonna make sense? For Final Destination, for that franchise, I want to say that, yes, it's kind of ridiculous in the way it is. However, the clever thing about Final Destination is that I think the last movie they did, it actually did do a full circle, where the people from the last film, they managed to go to Paris and die the same way the people in the first movie died. So I was just like, interesting. Wow, so it went full circle with that, which I thought was clever. They didn't have to do that, but for those who know the franchise, because I'm a weirdo and I watch franchises, I'm a loser like that, I was just like, oh, cool.
Yeah, we're gonna do that one at some point too. I know Kai, I remember Kai saying they'd like to come on for that.
Yes, and then the same thing with the Saw franchise. Some of the movies, I'm sorry, but after a while, I was just like, can we be done with Saul? The dude's dead. Why are we still doing this movie? Like, come on. The first two, and I think the third one was just like, okay, I get it. Now it's just like, all right, now you're just doing torture porn. This doesn't make sense. Like, there's no motive anymore. There's no reason. There's like, the lesson. There's no lesson here. It's just like, huh, you stole a penny, so now your head's being cut off. Like, what? Like, it just made no sense.
The lesson is that healthcare is important. That's the lesson.
Well, that was the first movie. And the second one was about addiction. And the third one was about, like, you know, freaking, again, stuff being under the rug. And the other ones were just like, what the hell is going on? What is this? It's like, is this Hostel? Hostel was interesting. But again, I was just, this is torture porn. What the hell's going on here? But anyway, derailing from the topic.
No, but it's all within franchises. That is what yeah. it is. Franchises are just weird and hard to do. I agree. I love Saw. I really enjoyed all of the movies for the most part, but there are aspects of each movie, not even each. There are aspects of movies specifically after the third one where I was just kind of like, okay, I paid to see all of these in theater, so like I wasn't disappointed, but I was also like, this isn't the best thing in the world, but I'll keep paying for it. Like sometimes that's the thing, and I don't know, I wonder if it's hard to do a franchise in part because if like you're married to a character, mm-hmm. like, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, there's a specific character, and it's like whatever story you write, this character has to fit in that mold. And mm-hmm. Final Destination is a little different in the sense that like it's like the villain, quote unquote, is deaf, but like deaf isn't like a tangible person, so it's kind of like how do these people escape their fates? Like it's so like it's kind of, I wonder if that's a part of like, you know, maybe the problem, maybe the good or the bad to it, if you like have a specific character that you need to fit in. But then you have Chucky, and the Chucky franchise actually is a really good, probably one of the better horror franchises out of all.
Because they're funny.
Yeah, they like kind of found their niche out the gate, and it was just, I really enjoy all of the Chucky movies except maybe like Seed of Chucky. That's probably like the only one I didn't really like.
Yeah, that one was weird. Like that one was just like that again. Like Nightmare on Elm Street, the second movie was so left field. Seed of Chucky was very left field. Like that was definitely just comedy. That was like no gore. I mean, Chucky's never. The first Chucky is definitely scary. Sequel was like, okay. Third one was just like, all right, dude, we get it. You're messing around with a teenager now. And the humor is a little bit different now. And then Brother Chucky was just like, all right, we get it, dude. You're frustrated. And then Seed of Chucky, which was really weird. And then Cult of Chucky. And then Curse of Chucky.
That's probably my least favorite as well. Cult of Chucky. I wasn't big on that one.
And then on the Chucky series. And it's just like, yeah. Chucky's living, man. He's going bank. He's just like, I'm making that bank. I mean, it's true. And the voice actor who does Chucky, you know, what's his name? I forgot his name. He's living his richest royalties. He's been the voice of Chucky since like forever. You know?
It works. It works. They keep like, there's something to be said about like writing a character well. And Chucky is like a well-written character. For as weird and as odd of a character that he is, Chucky is a really well-written character, like really, really well-written. Him, and then like, you know, the addition of Tiffany just adds a whole nother element, like Tiffany the doll or even the woman, like either version of them that they use is like adds a whole nother dimension to the character. So they're like outside of like literally outside of Seed of Chucky and Cult of Chucky, I would say Chucky is probably one of the best horror franchises like ever, because they've just been like really solid. Like, and I think Seed of Chucky is probably the only one I think was really terrible. I think Cult of Chucky was like just kind of like, it wasn't the best, but it was all right. It was okay.
Yeah, I think the only good thing about the Cult and the Curse was that they brought back, what's his face? The kid, Andy. The kid who played Andy, yeah. They brought him back as a man. And I was just like, man, leave Andy alone. He's been through so much shit. His mom went to the hospital. Like, come on, man. He's been traumatized. He went to military school. He went house to house. Leave him alone. Leave Brittany alone.
I think he's in a TV series as well. Like, I haven't gotten very far in it yet, but I think I might have heard it. He's in it as well.
Leave Brittany alone!
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Franchises are, like, really interesting how they kind of follow up with a lot of these. And yeah, Return to Sleepaway Camp could have been a bit better. I heard there's a possibility of a prequel, which I don't know how that works. Yeah, I don't know how that works. I'm assuming they're going to be following Angela, because Angela is honestly the most original thing left in this franchise. Everything else has been kind of ripped in its own way. Like, Friday the 13th basically took your camp setting thing and, like, turned it into something else. So they've kind of been stolen from quite a bit in the franchise.
Yeah, again, Angela is just like Jason, except she actually grew up. She didn't magically turn into a grown-ass woman through magic water. That's just how I'm going to say it, man. I'm just going to be like, Jason fell into magic water and he became a man. And then when he gets wet again, he turns to a 12-year-old again. Make it make sense. Make it make sense.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I wish I had the answers. I ain't got the answers, Sway.
I'm going to be like Julie from Night from I Know What You Did Last Summer. I'm right here. Tell me the answers, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had the answer, but I do not. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting kind of where this franchise has gone. I feel like, I don't know. What do you think a prequel
How many
of this
movies?
Could be? There's four movies the prequel... for Friday 13th. So what do you, Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway?
What do you think the prequel could be? Yeah.
I feel like it probably follow up to the, so remember in the first movie, they said that how it was an accident. There was a boating accident that killed both their parents, and then they had to live with their aunt. Because I think there was like some promiscuous stuff going on between the husband and another counselor. And that's kind of how things happen. So it might center about that and how when they first went to the aunt's house of like why she felt the need. I mean, they did explain that how like she always wanted a daughter, and that's why she turned Alan to Angela. So I feel like it would be that. It would follow the accident, what happened to the parents, time with the aunt, and all that jazz. I feel like that's what it would be about. Yeah.
I guess that makes the most sense, because a part of me was like, well, if they did a prequel with Angela, like, what would it be? Would it be like, I don't think it could be prior to the camp, because, well, it could be, but that would be kind of interesting and also kind of probably quite a conversation if they went through like everything that happened with Alan and her mother, like everything that went through, like, well, leading to her mother, making her go from a him to a her, like that might be interesting. I guess that could be a thing. I don't know what that would lead to. I don't know if there would be like murder in between. Like, did Angela kill people before she went to camp? Like, where will it go? I don't know. It seems like something they might have to create a world or something, because I don't know where it could possibly go. Or does it take place
Angela
between
versus
one and four?
Jason? Who was traumatized
exactly.
more?
Exactly.
That's it. I want to see that. I want to see Angela versus Jason. Which child was traumatized more at summer camp? Which one? The the trans woman or the man child? Who will win? I don't know. And he's really a man child. How do you go from being like 8 or 12 and then you magically turn to a man? And before someone says, it's called years, Jackie, then why when he gets wet, he turns back to being an 8 and 12-year-old? Explain that. Huh? Explain that to me. I'm sorry. I'm just very excited we reached 100 episodes. I didn't mean to be aggressive. I love you guys.
It's cool. You know, him and Freddy, like, blood's in the crypt. You know, Freddy scared of fire. He's scared of water, you know. Now we need somebody scared of wind and earth. Then we get the Avatar. So it is what it is, you know. That's the
Yo, with the earth. I'm trying to think now. Who's scared of the earth?
Who's scared of
Tremors?
Earth? Like Hellraiser? Oh, yeah, Tremors.
Tremors? And then winds? I don't know. Who's scared of the fucking wind?
I don't
Banshees.
Know.
Banshees. La Llorona. There we go. La Llorona. There we go. And their powers combined. Oh, we need heart. This is Captain Planet now. We need heart. Who will be heart? Hellraiser. Hellraiser's heart.
Hellraiser's heart.
That's heart. With our powers combined.
That's hilarious.
We make the others. I don't know how that works.
I would watch that. I would totally watch that. We need more versus movies in horror. The characters are just begging for it. It'll be so fun. I've wanted Chucky versus Leprechaun my entire life. My entire life, I'd be like, I need that movie in my life. Somebody needs to make that. They're both
or
magical.
Annabelle,
it's gonna be interesting.
Or Annabelle versus Chucky. Who's more demonic?
I don't know. Annabelle by when she's like actually demonic. Chucky is like a dude soul inside of a doll. Annabelle is like actually demonic. So I don't know. Unless
That's
he knows
true.
Some voodoo shit that can stop demons. I don't know.
That's true. Who would Hellraiser fight himself?
He fights the box.
He fights himself. He's just like, why did you betray me, my box? You were mine. What'll be? No, Hellraiser versus Candyman. Oh, who's more sexier? Yeah. Sexy content.
Oh, Tony Todd definitely gonna win that one. Everybody gonna go with Candyman on that one.
I could say something, but that's very inappropriate. Anyway. So yeah, we turned to Sleepaway Camp, our 100th episode.
We made it, guys. We made it.
We We can't tell you where we watched it, but we watched it. So yeah, I'm being serious, guys. We can't find the movie. We watched it in other means. So if you have the DVD, cool. If you haven't, buy the DVD, because it's like The Others. You can't find The Others anywhere streamable. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so really big thank you for those who have been listening to us for these 2 years nonstop, for those who continuously hear us, you know, message us, be like, hey, this episode was fire, this episode was funny, you're funny, you're cool, Jackie's the coolest, I know. or like, you know, just comment the fact that, you know, you love our podcast and our guests who we had on for Terra Talks and special guests. Like, again, like, this is a big milestone for us. We did not think, we did not foresee this. We did not see yeah. how far we're gonna go with the podcast. We didn't expect it to be 2 years. And especially for us to break 100 episodes, you know, it's amazing. We have like 100 followers now. We have like 1,000 listeners. So again, like, this is all because of you guys, like, really supporting us and waiting for us. You know, we have busy lives and it's hard to do the podcast sometimes, but you know, again, we're adults, you know. Yeah, we're fine, we're adulting, we have life going around, we're still in COVID. We're still in the freaking apocalypse, apparently.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to die. That was morbid. Sorry.
Okay, DMX. arf, all right.
What was that? What was that? That was like a baby. What was, you know what? Anyway, yes. Arf.
Oh, I can't do it like DMX. I ain't that angry. But
I am. I could do it.
I get laid too much to be that angry. I gotta cool that down.
I know, otherwise your wife would be like, is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? So yeah. Again, I love you, Anastasia.
So thank you guys for listening. Happy 100th. Enjoy the episode. We definitely got a lot more coming. We ain't going nowhere no time soon. So thanks for listening.
Yep. And with that, I will say, ooh, you ghost goodbye.